Blog Talk Radio
presents Applause Radio.
Hello, 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 everybody. We are, where are we? We're 3-4 days after Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving, pardon me. And we all have a lot to be thankful for, you know, you really do, because just think about it. There are so many people out there. You could always say that so many people out there have it a lot worse off than you. So I hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. I know mine was very nice and just a great day to get together. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the show that we had on the other night on the 22nd with singer Rena Chanel and producer Benny Pierce. We played their new song, ESP, which was great. And we got a great month coming up and a couple of shows coming up with some more great guests. But tonight we have a phenomenal guest I can't wait to speak to, Mr. David Liebort. He's an author, musician, tour manager. He started with The Happenings and just crazy story here. I can't wait to talk to him about it. So, David, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Joanne?
Oh, thank you so much. Everybody, David Liebort, how are you? Am I pronouncing your last name correctly, sir?
No, you said that's the way a bill collector would pronounce my name. Oh, it's a bill collector. I better not answer. It's Liebort.
Liebort. My David apologies.
Liebort. No problem. Everybody gets it wrong.
That's why I wanted to ask, because I was like, oh, I said to myself, is it Liebort or Liebert? You know, there was no E in there, so I wasn't sure.
Right.
So
right.
How are you? How are you? Did you have a great Thanksgiving?
I had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hung out with my girlfriend Angie and
nice.
Our three rescue dogs, and they got plenty of turkey, and they're sleeping it off right now.
Oh, everybody's got that turkey sleeping thing, right? Oh my God! Well, you're a big animal lover now. I mean, I guess you were your whole life, but now you're into animal rescue, yeah?
Well, I've always loved animals. I've always had dogs, cats sometimes too. But as a matter of fact, there is a complete chapter in my my book, Rock and Roll Warrior, dedicated to Dolly the dog, my beagle of many years, and a very close friend of Alice Cooper's.
No kidding. Well, folks, what we're talking about is David's new book. It is called Rock and Roll Warrior, and it's his autobiography of his 50 years in the industry. And David, I'm just like, I can't even tell you, I haven't read the book personally, but I can only imagine the life that you've led, because how do you start out with a mellow band like The Happenings and go to where you've gone? Alice Cooper, George Clinton, I mean, just crazy off the wall, not, I shouldn't say crazy off the wall bands, just bands that wouldn't be associated with the Happenings. It's just such a far cry. So how did that all happen?
Well, you know, I'm a Jersey guy.
Yes. Do you know where I am?
No, I was about to ask you.
I'm in Clifton.
Clifton?
Well, I'm not originally
right
from
next...
here, but yes, you're a Patterson boy. Yeah, you're a Patterson boy.
Yeah, you know what? Whenever I get back east, you know the first place I go to?
Where?
Rutt's Hut in Clifton,
New
Jersey.
Don't get out of town. Everybody does, right?
I am. I mean, I brag about those hot dogs out here in California.
Well, next time you come for a dog, you got to let me know. I'll break down and have a hot dog with you.
You got it. Thank you.
Excellent. Oh, cool.
You know, the Happenings were formed in Paterson, New Jersey. We used to listen to a lot of doo-wop music, and we used to hang out in the parking lot of the various restaurants we frequented, not because we wanted to be rock stars, but because it seemed to be an easy way to meet girls. And then, we started to realize, you know, we harmonize as well, if not better, than a lot of these groups that we hear on the radio. So we started to take it seriously, and it evolved into the Happenings, and we were fortunate enough to have some big hit records like See You in September and I Got a Rhythm and a few others. And but we were sort of a syrupy pop group, you know, that was
Great stuff. I just find, like I said, it's such a 180 working with Alice from the Happenings is what I'm saying.
Well, after I left the Happenings, I was looking for work, and a very good friend of mine who happened to be the booking agent for Alice Cooper said, you know, the Alice Cooper band is looking for a tour manager. Would you be interested? And I said, yeah, that sounds like it might be cool. And I did. I ended up getting that job. At first, I thought, oh, my God, I made a horrible mistake. It just, my first impression of that first gig was a bunch of wild, crazy-looking people just crawling all over the gear and the equipment like giant insects. I thought I had made the biggest mistake of my life.
Oh,
but,
my God.
But I started to get the hang of it, and by the end of the week, I realized this was going to be a great adventure, and I was, of course, happy I took the job.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, you know, you went from the Happenings to Alice Cooper to George Clinton. If you're going to be behind the scenes, 90% of what it is that you're doing is applicable to any genre of music.
True.
It's, you know, the logistics are the same.
Right.
Getting paid is the same. You know, it's all.
Yeah.
So, and I've always had a pretty wide, pretty broad appreciation of all different kinds of music. So I appreciated Alice Cooper, and of course, Parliament Funkadelic and George Clinton and all of his various funk mob bands.
Yeah, I recently had the pleasure to see both George and Alice, a couple months ago, and it was the first time I ever seen either, and I was blown away by Alice. I can't even tell you. What a show. Oh, my God. Oh, I was in awe. I couldn't take my eyes off the stage. George, on the other hand, he's getting up there. They sounded great, but he didn't do a lot of moving. But, you know, very good. Excellent. So now what made you want to leave the Happenings? What happened with that? I was going to say before, when you said you left the Happenings, nothing was going to happen when you left. You know, but look what happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, we were sort of a syrupy pop group, and the music was evolving at that moment.
Right.
All of a sudden, FM radio, a mostly unlistened to radio frequency band, was becoming a tremendous force in the music business. It was the conduit for all of these bands that played their own instruments and wrote their own songs. Not that the Happenings evolved into all of that too, but they didn't want to evolve like I did. And I felt we weren't going to survive if we continued in the pop syrupy mode, as I call it. I wanted to apply what we did really well, which was a harmony technique, and apply it to more contemporary type of things. Sort of what Crosby, Stills, and Nash was doing at the time.
Yeah.
And they didn't want it. They felt more secure in continuing to do colleges and nightclubs, and that sounded kind of obsolete to me.
Yeah.
And that's why I left. And I felt, also I had been managing the band for the last 2 or 3 years that I was with them, assuming most of the management responsibilities. And I started to realize, you know, I could manage other bands maybe, or work behind the scenes. I was pretty sure I couldn't be a Happening forever.
Yeah. Well,
so that was
you
my
answered,
motivation.
Yeah, you actually answered my question because I was going to say with your experience of performing live with The Happenings, I guess that's where you got your knowledge to how to go and work with these other bands behind the scenes. You knew how everything worked and functioned and everything. So that's great.
Yeah.
So how great mentors. Yeah.
Jeff Gordon, Alice's manager, was like the greatest rock and roll mentor that ever lived. I was very fortunate in that respect.
Mm-hmm. Nice, nice. Now you also, did you manage Joan Jett and Lita Ford and Cherry Curry or no?
I was their booking agent. I got a call one day from their notorious manager producer, Kim Fowley, and he, asked me to be their booking agent. That was quite an adventure.
Right. Now, I got to say, as the behind-the-scene guy, I'm sure you were up front with all the parties and you were right there with all that, right? I mean, I don't think it's like that today, do you? I mean, with these artists today, I don't think they do what, you know, tearing up a hotel room party and having girls come in and out, you know?
Probably not, since they don't invite me to their after show parties. I have no idea what they do, but
true.
That kind of behavior certainly was prevalent in my heyday. And
yes,
I have to admit I took full advantage of it.
I'm sure you did. Who wouldn't? And they say, you know, most people get into the music industry to either, if it's not for the money, it's for the drugs or the sex or the girls or whatever. So, you know, but you had a little bit of all of that. So that's great. You've lived more than any of us, I'm sure. I was told that you have this story about Guns N' Roses you might want to share with us.
Well, when I was, my life has been a series of ups and downs, I suppose. High highs and low lows. And one day I got a call from Kim Fowley, the guy that I mentioned, managed and produced The Runaways.
Yeah.
He said, David, there's a band living just a few blocks away from you that is living in a storage locker, in a storage locker complex where there's other bands living as well. They live there. They rehearse here. Go check them out. I think they're pretty special. They're called Guns N' Roses.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over there and I was instantly impressed by what they were doing. It was a pretty wild place there. I mean, they partied every night with all those bands living in the complex. But they also rehearsed several hours a day and they were very, very disciplined and took it very, very seriously. And their songs were incredible. And I could see that these guys are really, really driven. They were the real deal. And by that, I mean, these guys were never not Guns N' Roses. They were always Guns N' Roses, whether they were together as a band or just individually, just hanging out with them individually. Their state of mind was that we're never not the band. We're always the band. And that kind of confidence, that kind of state of mind, I suppose, is a very potent elixir. It influenced anyone that came into contact. You simply knew that there was no way that these guys were going to miss. They were going to make it. It was just that obvious. And I wanted to manage them. And the first thing I wanted to do was, get them out of that storage locker and get them into a house.
Yeah.
Rehearsing in the storage locker was fine. Living there wasn't. There was no running water, any, you know, bathroom, kitchen facilities. And, but that was one of my low points in life and I was literally broke. And, so I had to go out and see if I could, raise some money to get them out of there and, you know, get the things that they really need. And
yeah,
I was totally unsuccessful in trying to raise money for that endeavor. I failed miserably. And I sort of had to walk away from the situation because I really couldn't help them at that time. And I didn't want to burden them with me not being able to help them.
Right,
so, yeah,
right.
That's the one that got away. I guess everybody has the one that got away story. That one is mine.
Well, your backers, too, must look at it that way, too, that you reached out to help you out, you know, for the money.
Yeah.
They must look at it as the band that got away too. Yeah, because that would have been a great one. So now I have to ask you this, because I love the 50s, 60s, and I love everything. So now you've written songs for the Tokens, the Chiffons, and Jerry and the Pacemakers. What songs did you write for them? So I know them. I know I got to know them.
Well, when the Happenings decided to take themselves seriously, I started to hit the streets of Tin Pan Alley, which, as you know, is a section of Broadway in New York City, where there are several buildings that house record companies, music publishing companies, production companies, the Brill Building being
the most famous building.
Of them, but there's several. And if I walked into a music publishing company, I told them I was a songwriter. If it was a record company, I was in a band. A production company, I was in a singing group. And that went on for several weeks. And then one day I walked into the offices of Bright Tunes Productions, which was a company owned by the Tokens, who were a very successful group at that time. They had some huge hits like The Lion Sleeps Tonight, Tonight I Fell in Love. And they also produced the Chiffons, and they were kind of impressed with our little group and offered me and Bobby Miranda, our lead singer, a job for $25 a week each, writing songs for them. They gave us a little office and a piano, and because they produced the Chiffons, they decided to put a song that Bobby and I had co-written on their album. Wow, this was a big thing. And then the Jerry and the Pacemakers, this English band, their producer decided to use a song that Bobby had written by himself called Girl on a Swing. Hmm. And they decided to make that their next new single. Now, the significance of that is that the guy that produced Jerry and the Pacemakers, his name was Brian Epstein, and the producer of the Beatles. And so now we're really in the ball game. That was really something. We started to be perceived as up-and-coming writers. And the Tokens had a lot of friends in the business. They went to high school or were friendly with this clique of people that included Carole King, Jerry Goffin, Neil Sedaka, Al Cooper, Neil Diamond.
That's who hung out at the Brill Building. What a story that building could
and,
tell.
So they would come into the Tokens offices all the time to hang out. It was one of their pit stops. Exchanging songs, hawking their own songs, and we were in that little loop there, which was tremendously helpful. So I guess we owe a lot to the Tokens and what they were able to do for us at that time.
What a cool time back then, my God, where music was just like coming out, like I don't want to say music in general, but like pop music was coming onto the scene, and they literally were paying people to write songs. They needed songs, and it's like just crazy. Every time I think of the Brill Building, I smile because I'm just fascinated by the Brill Building. I wish I was there as a young child, as a teenager myself, just running in there. Here, I got one, we've had Bob gone in the past. Bob sings with the Happenings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was on. He's a very nice guy. Very nice guy. We had a good, nice conversation. So now we're going to go, I'm going to take you somewhere else now. So when did and why did you start selling drugs? Was there more money in that than backing the bands, or what happened there? And you actually went to jail too. What the hell?
I did. I went from booking agency and had a very successful booking agency. I had Bootsy's Rubber Band and Parliament Funkadelic. I had the Runaways, Evelyn Champagne King. I had the Dead Boys. Then I went into management, and I was managing George and Bootsy and a few other people. And George got involved with some really horrible people. And long story short, I lost him as a client because of these people he became involved with. And I had a high overhead. I didn't know what to do. So I decided, well, maybe I'll sell cocaine. I mean, I don't know any. I'll keep the circle small. Everybody I know seems to want it. And so that's what I did. Was it a wise decision? No, of course not.
Yeah, but you weren't at a down point. You were successful. You were very successful at this point.
Yes, but I woke up one morning and all of a sudden I had no income. And I had a high overhead. I was living a fairly lavish lifestyle. And then boom, I went from earning a great living to earning nothing.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do. And so that's what I did. Listen, it's a chapter in my life. So
yeah.
It became a chapter in my book. If I was going to be honest about my life, I had to include it. So I did. And then I think the interesting thing, or at least for me, was the fact that when I got out of prison, I somehow or other was able to get up on my feet again and got it all back. I ended up managing Living Color and Vanilla Fudge and Sheila E. and lots of other people. Be it pure dumb luck or by the grace of God, somehow or other, when it was all said and done, I landed on my feet. And I feel thankful and blessed for that.
Yeah, I think it was your tenacity, which you had since you were young. I mean, you walking in saying, like you said, you walked into a publisher's office, I'm a publisher. You walk into a songwriter's office, I'm a songwriter. You know, you wanted to make it happen, you made it happen, and you did it twice, you know.
I did.
Lightning does strike twice.
Sometimes. Not often, but sometimes.
No, you're right about that. I know for me it doesn't, but anyway. and you've managed and worked with some every name you've worked with are big names, my God. I mean, are you still close with these folks or no?
Some of them I am. Some I'm very friendly with Alice. I always get invited to his shows.
Nice.
You know, I'm close with him and his wife, Cheryl. They're really lovely, lovely people. I speak to Cherie Curry from The Runaways. We're friends, and we still do a little business together. And I'm just trying to think. I'm friendly with the remaining Happenings. You know, we were sort of estranged for decades, but somehow or other, we got involved in some business things together, and I'm happy to say that, you know, we're good friends today.
Excellent.
Which is nice because they were such an important part of my life at
one
time.
So
you know, that's really nice. I think the older you get, the less angry you get, the more introspective you get, the more appreciative you get of looking back on things, don't you think? And
we grow up. I guess we grow up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's a good.
I
way
don't know. Especially God, the life you had. You were a kid for years. My goodness, living the life of a kid, having a great time.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, I never really thought that I had a story worth telling, and people have been saying to me, gee, David, you ought to write a book. I mean, you've done so many things and some of your stories and all that. And I never really thought about it much. And then Angie, my girlfriend, says, you know what? They're right. You should write a book. You have a story worth telling.
Right.
And that's really what gave me the inspiration to write the book. I'm glad that I did, of course.
Yes. And when did it come out, Dave? David?
It officially came out September 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing very well. It can be purchased on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever people buy book. And if you go to rockandrollwarrior.com, I will personally autograph a copy of the book and the publisher will send it out to you.
Very nice.
Signed by me.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. A guy's got to get one of those. I didn't get a copy. I was supposed to get a copy, and I forgot to ask for it. I was told I would get it.
When we get off the phone, I'll get the information from you. I'll get a copy out to you right away.
Oh, you're too kind. Thank you so much. Thank you. Now, in the book, now I don't have it, but you have some great photos in there as well?
Yes, I have 32 pages of photos.
Cool.
And chronicling everything from the beginning of the happenings through the Alice Cooper days, my George Clinton days. There's stuff about the runaways. I even have a prison picture, trying to look like a badass in the picture.
How long were you in jail? How long were you in jail for, David?
A total of 14
that.
Months.
Wow.
14.
Wow.
So,
where were you, by the way? Was this on the East or West Coast?
On the West Coast. I spent 6 months in the L.A. County Jail and 8 months in a California state prison, the Hatchapi, they call it, the Hatch. And, you know, you make the best of
what
your situation was. But now it wasn't going anywhere. So, you know, people may actually find that interesting. And I'm certainly not recommending it for anybody.
Right.
But,
it's not something recommended, right?
No, not at all.
Although it's three hots in a cot. We don't want that.
Well, there's an old Jersey expression, you know, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
That's right. Yeah. Speaking of Jersey, how often do you come back to Patterson or to Rutt's Hut? You just go to Rutt's Hut.
If I'm in New York, I come back maybe once a year, twice a year. And if I'm in New York City, if I have to rent a car to get out there, I go to Rutt's Hut and have a couple of hot dogs.
A couple of rippers
and a Marvis, two hot dogs and a chocolate drink.
Oh man!
I always look forward to that.
What about Dickie D's? Did you ever go to Dickie D's?
No, that's a new one on me.
Yeah, no, that's in Newark. That's in Newark. I thought maybe you went to Dickie D's.
No, that was an old one,
Dickie D's. That was a pizza, hot dog, everything. But it was a cool looking place. I liked it. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So the book, I'm so excited about it, especially now that you said you're going to send me one. I'm really excited, and autographed, no less. Thank you so much. So, yeah, I mean, I am so glad that somebody said to you to write a book. How long did it take you to write this? Because, I mean, you're talking 50 years worth of your life, and, you know, it's not based on the craziness you had, it's not all clear. So it can't be all clear to you. Come on.
No, but I'll tell you, I didn't want to write a salacious tell-all kind
of
book. I really wasn't interested in that. I wanted it to be informative to people who were curious about what it was like behind the scenes.
Right.
I wanted it to be I wanted it to have a certain flow to it, and I think it did. I wanted it to sound like me, so I think it's very funny in a lot of places, and the reviews have been incredible. I'm really pleased about it. I started writing it about 3.5 years ago, and I had to devise a system by which I could, you know, try and recall stories, and so I sort of tried to conjure upness as I wrote without really much regard to how I was saying it or making it grammatically correct or worrying about spelling, because I knew that I would just get it out and then go back and fix it up and you know, and make it sound, you know, flow properly. And I think I was able to accomplish that. I had devised the system by which to write the book, and it took me, I guess, from beginning to end, about 3.5 years.
Wow.
And, you know, there are periods of time I didn't write at all. Then I would get inspired by something and continue to write.
You were in no rush.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I know for me personally, David, I mean, I couldn't sit down and write about the last 50 years. That's for sure. I'm not going to lie.
Blur.
Yeah, I had a lot of blurs
of
myself.
Blur.
Yeah, I had a lot of blurs myself.
There are people that reminded me of things, and I wrote it down. And,
right.
You know, somehow or other, it all seemed, yes, a lot of it was a blur, a bit of a blur.
Yeah. Now the management company is no more, or you do a little bit on the side? I know you said you were working with Sherry Curry a little bit.
Well, you know, I'm basically retired. I can't say I'm retired, so I'll say I'm semi-retired because, you know, I live out in the desert about 125 miles east of L.A., and but I'm inundated constantly with people who want me to manage them or produce them or do this for them or that or hire me as a consultant or pay me to pick my brain. I turn almost everything down.
Wow.
You know, I'm just, unless it sounds really interesting or maybe make a quick buck, you know, I really don't want to do it. Yeah, every once in a while something crosses my desk and I'll take a look at it. You know, I mentioned Cherie. You know, somebody wants her to do something and I think it would be a good thing for her or anybody else for that matter.
Right.
I'll get in touch with that person, see if I can put something together for them, and you know, maybe I'll be involved, maybe I won't. So I'm not completely out of the business.
Out. Right.
But pretty much so, you know. I'm very happy to be living out here in the desert and being an animal rights activist and living with Angie and my three rescue dogs who I adore. And like I say, I'm blessed. I landed on my feet somehow, Joanne. And
thank God. And you know what? You know what, David? The only reason they reach out to you is because they want the best and they know who to go to. You're the guy.
Well, thank you. It's nice of you to say that. It's nice to be, you know, it's a completely different universe out there, the music business. It's sort of flattering for people to think that I'm still relevant, but apparently they do think that.
And absolutely. Well, you've been doing it for years, and you did it so well and with major acts. It's not like you were doing Joe Schmo down the street, you know. I mean, you know, booking them and managing them and getting them gigs and stuff. I mean, you really took people over the edge, and that's great. That is great. So let me ask you, what David Liebert would, what concert would David Liebert go to tomorrow if he could?
Concert?
Yeah.
Backstage, I wouldn't go to any concert unless I had backstage passes. I'm an old guy, but there are bands that I still love to see. I'm a huge Rolling Stones fan.
Yeah.
I love to go to the Stones.
I've never seen them live.
Really? I think they do it better than any band alive.
Mm.
And so I was actually going to go to their last concert, you know, there were so many COVID restrictions, it didn't sound like it would be a lot of fun hanging out backstage. You know, it wouldn't be with Mick and Keith. It would be with, you know, record company people, which I could live without. But I don't go to many concerts. But like I say, I get invitations for Alice Cooper concerts when he's in this area.
Nice.
Living Color. They're one of the greatest live bands that ever existed. I was really proud to have been their manager for those years, but I don't really go to a lot of concerts. I guess I've become somewhat reclusive, which is part of the reason I guess I moved out to the high desert in the middle of nowhere. I'm out by Joshua Tree. And it's nice and quiet, and I'm living a nice leisurely life. So not a lot of crazy in my life right now.
Yeah, well, you don't want to go back to Patterson now, so stay there, you know. Patterson is not what it used to be, that is for sure.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. And by the way, there's a picture of the house that I lived in Patterson in the book as well.
Oh, which street did you live on in Patterson?
I lived on East 41st Street between 19th and 20th Avenue.
I know exactly.
The east side area.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly where that is. Yep. Mm-hmm. Not that I go to Patterson a lot, but I do know that area there. And I'm, like I said, I'm not a longtime resident of Clifton. I've been here, what, 22 years, I guess. My son is 25. So, yeah, so about 22 years. It's a nice little town. I mean, it's huge. It's huge, Clifton. I still don't even know places in Clifton, but, you know, Patterson reminded me more of home where I grew up because it was a little tiny city that I'm originally from Harrison. You know that area.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. So I'm originally from there, but I've been here 22 years, I think. But I mean, I have no problem going into Patterson. I have no problem going into Passaic, no problem in living in Clifton. No, you know what? It's everywhere. Wherever you go, life changes, you know, things change. So, but you, my friend, are in peaceful serenity out there. Just gorgeous, gorgeousness, you know, nice. Good for you. Good for you. So is there a chance of another book? And if there is, what is there more to tell, David?
I don't know what if there is more to tell or not, but I'm not writing another book. I never realized what an overwhelming endeavor it really is to write a book, to do it right, and you know, get it published and all of that. Somehow or other, I was able to accomplish that, and I'm pleased. But no, there will not be another book. I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, the book, folks, is Rock and Roll Warrior, David Liebert. And, I mean, there are so many stories that we could go over. I mean, okay, out of all the bands that you have worked with, which ones were the best partiers that you hung out with after the show?
Hands down, Alice Cooper. Not Alice himself, but you know, the band and
the
people.
Crew. Yeah.
You know, the crew, you know, we traveled in our own airplane. We would lease, you know, a big commercial plane for our tours. And we always took the opening acts with us, which included Susie Quattro for several tours, Flo and Eddie, Mark Volman and Howard Kalin, the X-Turtles. Mm-hmm. Alice loved having them on tour. I mean, they were just so much fun. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine, we lived in our own little bubble, and we just partied hardy all the time. It was my job as the tour manager to make sure everybody was comfortable and happy.
Right.
And, you know, the key was for them to be happy that I was there running the show for them, that I made it good for them. That's sort of the secret.
Right, right. And like I said, you were the best at it.
So the answer to your question, Alice Cooper.
Excellent, excellent. He sounded fantastic, by the way. I mean, he sounded like, I mean, I would never think I'm looking at Alice Cooper 40 years later when I was listening to him as a teen, you know? So it's like, wow, he just sounded phenomenal. And what a great show. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.
Show. And
he's
a hell of a guy. Just a great guy. I mean, everybody worked really hard for Alice Cooper, simply because they loved the guy. They never wanted to let him down.
Mm.
He never took himself seriously. He took what he did seriously. That's how he earned his living. But he just wanted to be one of the guys. He was happy to hang out with one of the road crew as much as he would be if he was hanging out with Mick Jagger. That's the kind of guy he was.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Oh, boy. So now, anything in the book that we can highlight? We don't want to give too much away. Anything? Let's see. I don't have the book in front of me, so I can't ask you. I'm so sorry. I don't write questions down, David. It's just we're hanging out talking, and that's it. And then going off of what we're talking about.
I like it that. Well,
me too.
You know what, folks? Let's buy the book, and you'll find out all the stuff that we didn't talk about. We did talk about this stuff about Prince and Sheila E. And Bootsy and some of the stuff we went through and where we were. It's the book has gotten terrific reviews, I'm happy to say. And most people think it's a really fun read, an easy read. It has got a nice flow to it, and seems to be an enjoyable endeavor reading the book. So I'm very pleased
Absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely. Is it true that they're talking about possibly making this into a movie?
Oh, my God. You know, every interview I do, yes, they are.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about that. I'm not supposed to talk about it. Here I am talking about it.
I won't tell anybody. I won't tell our 50 million listeners.
Hey, all right, you people out there, don't tell
it's
anybody.
It's a secret.
No, everybody seems to know it. Yeah, they're, that would be the final icing on the cake of my crazy career. But that seems to be in the works. And
how cool would that be, David? That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I know. That would,
oh, man.
You know, I want Brad Pitt to play me, and they're insisting it be Pee Wee Herman.
Oh,
so
God, you're too funny. Because I was going to ask you, too, who do you see playing you? But seriously, not Brad Pitt. You just, seriously,
no,
who do you think would play you? Who do you think would play your part?
I don't know, but whoever plays it, it'll be just fine with me.
Yeah.
They're kicking this thing around, and
nice.
Knock on wood, it'll all come to fruition. That would be wonderful.
Well, it sounds like it would make a great movie, so I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, everything from the beginning to end. I mean, starting with the happenings. I mean, for me, when I got the transcript of I got snippets of it, and I'm like,
the thing
that came to me the most was, how does somebody start with the happenings, which was a pretty mellow band for that time, you know, not mellow, but, you know, compared to today's standards, and especially compared to rock, go from the happenings to hanging out with Alice Cooper, George Clinton. I mean, these are all crazy people back then, you know, lots of partying then, you know, so.
Lots of partying.
Yes,
listen, I was
absolutely
lucky. I mean, all of my stuff happened, I suppose, in what we would consider the golden era of the music business, you know, the late 60s, the 70s, the 80s.
Yep.
That's
the best.
You know,
mm-hmm.
The golden years.
Yeah. What do you think of the music industry nowadays, David?
Well, it's a completely different universe. Nobody buys CDs anymore.
I know.
Digital downloads don't even exist anymore. But you know what? Everything evolves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I started out, there were no cassettes. There were
mm-hmm.
no CDs.
Mm-hmm.
There was no streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people started to listen. If you're a young person, for $10 a month, you could subscribe to Apple Music or Amazon Music, and by simply asking Alexa or Siri, oh, my Alexa thing just lit up.
I know. I'm just going to say, going to make mine go off too.
You could ask those two things virtually to play any song ever recorded, and you'll instantly hear it. You can ask for any song, any genre, any band, any album.
Mm-hmm.
I can't blame. Why would they go out and buy a CD when they could simply ask Siri or Alexa for virtually any song ever recorded? So that's
exactly
the way things are today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I mentioned to you that we did several tours with Flo and Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
These guys sued SiriusXM and Pandora for hundreds of millions of dollars to make sure that recordings recorded prior to 1972 were paying the artists, paying performance royalties, which they weren't doing. They interpreted the law, SiriusXM and Pandora and Spotify and all of them, that they didn't have to pay. Well, we won the lawsuit.
Oh, good.
And we got a huge payday out of all of that, the happenings, and I guess everyone else who had recordings prior to 1972. And it was so influential that Congress passed the law, the Music Modernization Act, and now we get close to our fair share of all that streaming revenue. I'm probably making more
royalties,
artist royalties these days than I ever did prior to that lawsuit. So
I didn't know Flo and Eddie were behind that. Yeah, I didn't know Flo and Eddie were behind that.
They were. They started the whole thing, and they're very clever guys, Mark and Howard.
Yeah.
And I knew them well because they toured with Alice Cooper so often.
Mm-hmm.
And I made sure they made my life easier on the road because even though it was my job to keep everybody amused when I was Alice Cooper's tour manager, with those guys on the road, I now had professional comedic backup. It wasn't my sole responsibility to keep everybody amused.
Right.
So
I
made sure that they were privy to every possible amenity that a big rock tour could provide somebody. They flew with the band, with their band and crew on the airplane with everybody else. They were family. And I'd like to think that because I treated them so well, they kind of looked out for me 40 years later. And I guess they did because they changed how the music industry pays people, old guys like me.
Yeah, I know. I feel like people who were involved in the industry then, including yourself, Flo and Eddie, I mean, all the bands back then, it's a family. It is family. All these bands still to this day are a family, these acts, Nowadays, now it's like you don't know who they are. You're not going to remember them 20, 30 years from now. But now you think it's 20, 30 years ago, people are still talking about the music that we listened to back then. I don't think you're going to have that. I don't know. That's my opinion. I don't know. That's my opinion. I don't think they'll have the same longevity.
I don't
know
either.
Yeah.
And we may never find out, you and me.
Yeah. Well, David, they say that the music industry is cyclical and it's just not changing. It hasn't changed in a long time. I'm still waiting for rock to come back on the radio. Just never happening. It's not happening. I don't get it.
And maybe there was a young girl, a singer that I was thinking of becoming involved with. In the end, I really didn't. But she said to me one day, David, go listen to Spotify. Listen to the top 20 in Spotify and call me back. So I did. And I called her back and she said, did you notice that those top 20 songs, you didn't hear one single guitar? And she was right.
No, you're right. Mm-hmm.
And she says probably every one of those drums you heard was a drum machine.
Yeah.
They don't even make records the same way anymore. Is it better? I don't know. I mean,
I know.
There are songs that stick out in my mind that are
not
a lot.
Many, though.
I don't.
Right.
No,
not
many. But then again, I don't listen to a lot of new music really. So who knows? But
I used to. I used to try and stay on top of what was going on, and I just gave up on it. I really did, because it all just sounded the same. And I love my Sirius, so I just stuck with my Sirius. So, I love Sirius. But how many pages are the book, by the way? Is it hardcover, soft cover?
There is a hardcover and a soft cover.
Oh.
It's about 300 pages, and also there's a Kindle that is going to be added, I guess, in the next day or two.
Oh, great.
And like I say, you can just the hardcover or softcover on Amazon or wherever people buy books. And also, if you go to rockandrollwarrior.com, you can order the book there as well. And if you go there, you get an autographed copy from me, personally signed by me.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, is there an audio version?
They're working on it, and we're gonna get one out in the next. I guess it's a sequence. You put out the hardcover and the softcover, and then 3 months later, You put out the Kindle version, and then a few months after that, you put out the audio CD. So I guess those are decisions by the publisher. And
No, go ahead. I'm so sorry. I interrupted you.
Oh, I was saying, you know, they make those decisions. I'm just a small cog in the machinery.
Yeah. What I was going to say is tell your publisher for the audio version, they should have the members of or someone, a member from the band for each story when you get there. That would be really cool when you get to their chapter.
Yeah, that would be cool, wouldn't it? I'm
writing it down. Oh, that'd be really cool if you could get like someone from Guns N' Roses when you're talking about the Guns N' Roses story or even the Happenings or Alice to do the talking. Oh, that'd be cool. Oh, man. I love that idea. I love that. That would be great. That'd be great. I won't charge it. It's okay.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm kidding. No, I just think that'd be really cool if you got someone from each band to do the speaking on the audio. That would be so cool. People would just flock to that. Wow. Oh, we might have to give them a cut, though. We might have to give them a cut. But it's okay. We don't mind. You're rich now, so it's okay. I'm only kidding. Folks,
I know.
Check out the book, Rock and Roll Warrior, the story of David Liebert's life. My God, can you imagine being in David's shoes? Oh, my God. Oh, I wish I hung out with you then, David. What a good time we would have had.
Yes,
what a good time.
Yes, ma'am. We would have had a great time.
Oh, absolutely. Well, my friend, thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you tonight. And folks, check out the book. Go to rockandrollwarrior.com. You'll get an autographed copy and also available everywhere you can buy books online at Barnes & Noble. And check it out, Rock and Roll Warrior, and that's Big Secret. Let's hope we see the secret come soon, too.
Right?
That would be great to see. I mean, you know what? We need something like that. We haven't had a movie like that in a long time, too. We haven't had anything out like that. So it would definitely do well. I think so. But anyway, David, it was a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Thank you so very much for hanging out with me tonight.
It was a lot of fun, Joanne. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait to get the book, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And everybody, go check it out, Rock and Roll Warrior, rockandrollwarrior.com for an autographed copy, and read all about David's life story here. I mean, just an amazing, amazing experience that he's had. And you must wake up sometimes and pinch yourself, huh? And say, I can't believe I did all that.
Looking back on it.
That laugh was sinister there, sir. What a life you've led. Oh, my goodness. God bless you. Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
David,
thank you
so very much. You take care. Thank you so much. Everybody, David Liebert. Rock and Roll Warrior.
Bye,
check
everybody. Thank you,
Bye-bye,
Joanne.
David. Thank you so much. I'll meet you at Rut's Hut.
Okay.
All right, hon. Take care. All right. Bye-bye. Oh, my God. Could you imagine? I mean, as a kid, I don't know about you guys. As a kid, I don't know if it's because I loved music so much, but as a kid, I would have killed to have his life. Oh, my God. I would have been in heaven to be hanging out with all these artists and everything, but... Oh, it was a different time then, whatever. I mean, you know, I'm kind of doing it now. I get to hang out with them on the show, and it's beautiful for me. It's a great experience. I enjoy it very much. So anyway, David's calling me now. Hang on one second. Hey, David, can I call you back? We're still on the air.
Yeah, is this your mobile?
Yes, sir, it sure is.
Your address.
Oh, thank you. You're too kind. Everybody, David, look at that. He called me on my cell. He wants to give me my address. And then we're going to do Rut's Hut. I promise.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, David. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, honey. Thank you. Oh, wow. He called me on my phone to tell me, asking for my address. How cool is that? So anyway, that just picked me up. But not that I needed any picking up. I'm finally... got myself back together again. We were off about 6 months. So, but we are coming back. We are. I'm just taking it slow, guys. I just you know, once I get back in, I'm in, and it's a lot of work. Not that I don't love it. I love doing it. And, you know, like I said, to myself, it's like, when God tells you to slow down, you listen for a reason. There's a reason for everything. So we are going to be going crazy anyway. Like I said, now that I'm back, I'm back. And that was the big decision. Do I come back? Because if I come back, I'm in. And once I'm in, I'm in. So it's a lot to live up to. So anyway, I do love it. I thank the fabulous guests that we have on. I mean, look at David, how cool is that? That just made a nice friend. How nice is that? So check out his book, Rock and Roll Warrior. Go to rockandrollwarrior.com or anywhere you can buy books. So tomorrow night, oh my God, we've got King Royal. He's a rapper, and we are going to have a great time with him. We're going to play a new song by him, and that's going to be cool. And I'm excited as well for the 30th. We've got Cheryl Cooley from Climax. You remember Climax? Yeah, so we're going to have them on. I got a meeting in the ladies' room. So we're going to have Cheryl on. And then we've got a bunch. Oh, my God. See, look at this calendar for December. I'm booked unbelievably. It is crazy. But it's good. I'm excited. I'm happy. I like it. So I'm not going to reveal who I have coming up in December yet because we have to confirm time. So, but we will have that done by, what's today? We've got a couple days. Till December. So the calendar will be updated really soon. I just got to confirm dates, and I'll be doing that tonight. So anyway, not dates, times, and all. I've got the dates. I've got the people. I just got to make sure we're in. That's all. But some great guests coming up. I promise you that. So I do hope, again, you all had a great Thanksgiving. And we've got, again, tomorrow night, King Royal. He's a rap artist and very good stuff. And how do I know? Because my son likes it. So we'll go with that. I do like rap. I like old, you know me, I like old school rap, but I like everything. I like all music. I don't discriminate against music. Music is music. So I love it all. But yeah, and I'm really excited to have Cheryl Cooley on from Climax. So that's going to be cool. And again, I'll be finishing up the confirmations of dates for December. And then we've got Christmas coming. So that kind of throws a little bit of a monkey wrench in there, which is what Thanksgiving did for me. So, you know, I tend to go a little crazy with the booking. So, and I'm going to try my best. I'm going to try my best to get us as much Christmas music as we can or Christmas related guests that I can, so that we can get into the Christmas spirit together. So I don't know, ever since the pandemic, the holidays just don't seem the same to me. It's very weird. I can't explain it. They're not the same. They just feel like they don't exist to some degree. Does that make some sense? I don't know. I feel like David, like he said, he became a recluse. I feel like I became a recluse as well. So, To some degree, not crazily, but, you know, I just always here. Anyway, but yeah, I'm trying to get some, I don't even want to say who I'm trying to get on because if I can get them on, I'll be excited. So, and, but anyway, I really enjoyed speaking to David tonight. David Liebert, his life was something to behold. And, can only imagine reading this book. I mean, it sounds like every kid's dream back in the 70s to party with these rock stars and have just a great time. So, and he's a Jersey boy. How cool is that? And I wish I could tell him more about Clifton and Patterson, but I don't know it all that well either. I know how to get home. Clifton is so large. I don't like to tell people where I live, but you know, Clifton is so large. I've got at least four or five main streets in this town, and there's plenty of parking on them. There's never traffic jam unless there was an accident or something. But where I grew up in Harrison, no matter what time of day it is, there is no parking. There is constantly a car on the road. It's just sometimes I go down the street on a Sunday night and I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? It's dead. Like, it just seems very surreal sometimes to me, growing up one way and then, you know, being, I mean, this is a main street and it's dead. So that's just crazy to me. Anyway, I kind of made a resolution today. I did my early resolution. I decided that I am going to do everything I have ever wanted to do in the meantime, in between the shows that I should have been doing this whole time. And it's going to be new products. It's going to be all kinds of stuff, music. It's going to be a lot of great stuff. So for me, anyway, the fact that I did it is more than, it doesn't even have to be successful. To me, it's a success if I did it. So remember, you're not a failure if you don't try. You're a failure if you, I said that wrong. You're not a failure if you try and it fails. You're a failure if you don't try, because you'll never know if it would be a success, and you learn as you go. So that's what I do. I do everything. I just teach myself everything. I really do. I just teach myself everything. This is a magnet. Oh my God. I hope that's not ruining my credit cards. What is it sticking to? Right? If magnets go onto credit cards, you got a problem? I think so. I don't know. It's sticking like right here. What the hell? What's there? My other laptop. That's weird. I hope I didn't just destroy a laptop. Anyway, I'm just don't even know what I'm saying at right now. All right, guys. David Liebert. Check it out. Rock and Roll Warrior. Available everywhere online where you get your books, and Barnes & Noble, and also Rock and Roll Warrior. Check it out. It's a great book. If you want an autographed copy, go to rockandrollwarrior.com. And David, what a pleasant man, and great conversation, and always enjoy hanging out with everybody that I have on the show anyway, so it doesn't matter who it is. So King Royal tomorrow, rapper at 9 p.m. Eastern on the 28th. And Cheryl Cooley from Climax on the 30th at 9 p.m. Eastern. You guys have a great night ahead of us. Another week, first week of the month. Busy, busy, busy. And again, Christmas right around the corner. So let's do this. Have a great night. Thanks for hanging out. And be kind, folks, you know. I can't.